The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. Welcome. So the topic I was thinking about exploring with you this evening is the topic of conditionality, that everything that we experience is conditioned. And we know this to some extent. I mean, we're aware of the word conditioning and what it means and have some sense of that. But in a very deep way, more than I think we initially realize, everything, absolutely everything we experience is simply a process of causes and conditions tumbling on. And this is tied very closely to this understanding in the Buddhist teaching, the understanding of the conditionality is tied very closely to the Buddhist teaching of not self. And I'm not going to so much speak about that tonight. I may mention it here and there, but I just want to kind of go in through this doorway of exploring the conditioned nature of our experience and maybe begin to point in the direction of this teaching on not self and maybe touch on that in subsequent weeks. So this understanding of kind of the process nature of our experience, that essentially we could kind of look at whatever is happening to us. We think of things happening to us or that we are a thing, but the way that we can think about this perhaps is that we are more verbs than nouns, that everything we are is a doing, kind of a process, set of processes tumbling on, and not a thing that inherently exists. Any thingness that we think of is already a process that's changing. And so this understanding is a kind of a foundational understanding that helps us in our connection to our experience. One of the key tools that the Buddha taught in terms of understanding our experience, in terms of helping ourselves to recognize why what happens to us, is the tool of mindfulness. And this, you know, the tool of mindfulness is pretty out there these days in the culture. And there's a lot of different mindfulness teachings out there, and there a lot of them just point us to being present in the present moment. Can we be present in the present moment? Well, the Buddhist teachings start there, but it's not enough to just simply be aware in the present moment in terms of the direction that the path that the Buddha's teachings take us towards, which ultimately is, you know, the whole journey that the Buddha went on, the whole kind of question that he started with was, is it possible to be free from suffering and struggle and distress as a human being? And this question motivated his search, motivated his reflections, and motivated his practice. And so that question underlying his exploration led him to look into his experience, to look at his experience in the present moment and begin to understand what is happening in here that is contributing to our suffering. That there's things happening out there that contribute to our suffering, that we respond to, that we react to. And he realized that we're not going to be able to change everything out there. So he was looking, what inside is possible to change? What is possible to see and explore internally that might be able to be shifted? And so he did discover that there are some key ways that our minds hold on to things, push things away, react to things, react to pleasant things, react to unpleasant things, and that this kind of reactivity And he summarized it in the word of craving, this kind of the reactivity, the craving for things to be a certain way, wanting to hold on to things that are pleasant, wanting to push things away that are unpleasant. So the reactivity of our experience, and lots of different kinds of reactivity, anger, frustration, confusion, irritation, annoyance, pride, arrogance, greed, so many, boredom, confusion, lots of different kinds of reactions to what's happening in the world. And the Buddha pointed to his discovery was that, well, the stuff that's happening out there is going to happen, but our reaction doesn't have to be, we don't have to be held by our reactions. In fact, there is a way that we can, through the practice of mindfulness, begin to understand these reactions and begin to kind of turn the direction of our minds in a new direction. And it is conditionality that allows that to happen. It is conditionality that creates the reactivity in the first place. You know, I think we all know, we all kind of may have our favorite flavors of reactivity. For me, anger was probably my favorite flavor. It was kind of my go-to mode. And it was very conditioned. You know, when I look at my upbringing, when I look at the ways in which I saw people responding in the world, this was what was modeled. This was what was demonstrated. This is what I learned. And so this was kind of the way that this being learned how to respond to the world. But it isn't hardwired, our habitual reactions. It's not hardwired. It is deeply conditioned. But it's not a necessary response. And so the Buddha actually discovered in his journey that there are ways, different ways that we can relate to experience. And the cultivation of mindfulness itself is a condition that begins to change our habitual reactions. So the exploration of our experience in the present moment in terms of, can we discover for ourselves this possibility of being at ease with what's happening out in the world? This is actually, it's actually really good news that the Buddha discovered. You know, it sounds like not such good news when the first noble truth is suffering. There is suffering. And yet the suffering that's pointed to here is that there's this suffering that is kind of being generated by our own relationship to experience. That the there is suffering of the first noble truth isn't that suffering is happening and we are forevermore destined to just suffer, but that there are things happening in the world. We tend to habitually react in ways that create our experience of suffering. And I think the big piece that the Buddha pointed to, or the kind of big exploration or big understanding he came to, was that the suffering is the reactivity. And so there's stuff happening in the world. You know, there's people doing things that we react to, or situations out in the world that are painful and difficult. And it may not be, so one thing I have to always say here is that the exploration of not being reactive to stuff going on in the world is not about not being responsive to. The reactivity and the suffering that the Buddha talked about is a kind of a tightening, a clamping down, a kind of it's a craving, it's a clinging, that things have to be a certain way. And there's a feeling of pain, of suffering internally that's connected to that reactivity. I think we understand this, that anger, to some extent, we understand that anger feels painful. There's the thing that's happening out there that we're angry about. And then there is the anger itself. And the anger is the suffering that the Buddha said we can be free of. And so while we're not going to be able to be free of the ways that people do things and what's going on out in the world, that's going to continue. We can have a heart that is at ease with what is happening. Now, that heart that is at ease with what is happening is not a heart that says, oh yeah, whatever, whatever's happening, that's okay. But that heart that is at ease with what's happening rather is a heart that is not resistant, not constricted, not tightened down, but is open and resonant. Kind of a heart that feels soft in relationship to the world. And that soft heart in relationship to the world really feels the injustice. It feels the suffering. It feels the pain that's happening in the world. But it doesn't react to it. It doesn't hate it. It doesn't want to deny it or push it away. It actually has the movement to want to respond to, out of compassion, perhaps make changes in the world. Now, that may not sound like this kind of things, you know, having a kind of a heart that feels at peace with things as they are in the world. We might think that that would just be a heart that didn't need to do anything. But that's not the way it actually ends up working. When the heart is lets go of that reactivity, when the heart lets go of the anger and the hatred and the confusion and the greed for certain kind of situations to be a certain way, when the heart lets go of those, then there's a movement that the heart wants to respond to alleviate the suffering that's in the world. And so this is the kind of the path or the journey that we're on, is to see, can we free our hearts from these reactive patterns and then become a responder, a compassionate responder in the world rather than a reactive person. And so this is what the Buddha was wanting us to understand, is our inner kind of what's going on inside in relationship to the world. And the very practice of mindfulness creates the conditions for the beginning of a transformation of that, a transformation of our habitual reactivity. And so this is an important piece in terms of paying attention to our experience. It's not just about, oh yes, this is what's happening in the present moment. One of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, one of my Burmese teachers, has said, you know, if you see somebody who's out on the street and they're angry, and you go up and ask them, do you know that you're angry? They'll say, yeah, of course I know I'm angry. But they are not knowing that in the way that that the Buddha encouraged us to know our experience. They are knowing their anger, and they are believing that anger and believing it's necessary to follow through on that anger in order to act in the world. You know, there's another way to act in the world. Instead of anger around a situation, compassion around a situation, that can also lead to action. And so the simple being aware of what's happening in the present moment isn't quite enough. We really need to be aware in a certain way. We need to be interested in certain things, interested in certain aspects of our experience. And so one way of phrasing what we might be interested in with mindfulness to help us kind of transform our minds is to understand our human experience as human experience. To understand, this is the human experience of anger. This is what it feels like for a human being when they're angry. Now, that may not sound much different than the person who said, yeah, I know I'm angry, but there's a big difference between knowing that we're angry and buying into that anger and following that anger and being curious about anger as a phenomenon, as something that's happening, as something that's unfolding in the present moment. And so that's one way to kind of frame the way that we explore mindfulness. We explore our experience as human experience. And another important piece that the Buddhist teachings point us to in terms of the way to understand our experience is to understand the conditioned nature of our experience. To understand that this anger that's arising is arising in dependence on conditions. It's arising in dependence on stuff that's happening out there, yes, but also it's arising in dependence on our conditioning, our training, the conditions of our life. And it's not, it's not necessarily the only response, or even the only response that we could have. But it is the one that is happening because we are, it's like the life that we've lived up until this moment, the conditions, the patterns that we've engaged with, meeting these conditions here, anger is the kind of the easiest groove to follow in this case. And so that's why the anger happens, because it's kind of the easiest way for the mind to go. It's what it's done the most in that kind of a situation. And so that is a kind of that is part of the power of conditioning. I want to stop for just a moment and reflect a little bit on conditioning itself, because there's a lot of different kinds of conditioning. There's a phrase that's often used in the Buddhist texts that is causes and conditions. Causes and conditions. We are kind of encouraged to explore what are the causes and conditions that are unfolding in this moment. And so I want to unpack that phrase a little bit. I just spent some time thinking about it, and what does it actually mean? So I'm going to start with the word condition. So the word condition, we have a familiar use of that word in English, that the conditioning, that the kind of our history, and this is one of the aspects of conditioning. What our parents taught us, what we learned in school. These are things that we have been conditioned by. So it's things from the past. One of the ways we can think of conditioning is our history, what we've learned through our history. That's one aspect of conditioning. Then there's kind of other conditions that are less personal, let's say. They're just like the nature of what's happening in the world. The weather is conditions. The food that we're eating, the food that's been placed in front of us, this is conditions. So there's some conditions that are just kind of more external to us. And then there's the internal conditions. There's the conditioning that we've had. And then there's also other kinds of conditioning, like our genetic conditions. So there's a lot of, different bodies respond to things in different ways. Certain people can eat gluten, other people can't eat gluten. So those are conditions too. And that has an effect on us. If we get some food with gluten in it and we're gluten intolerant, it will have an effect on us. And so some of these conditions are kind of connected to our physical body. Some of them are connected to our history. And some of them are just connected to the world. The ones that we're most interested in terms of exploring our minds, are these inner conditions, the conditions from history, and the habits, the patterns that we have learned to respond to the world with. we might think that those habits and patterns are kind of, well, they can be very deep grooves. They can be very deep ruts. And sometimes we may feel like they're impossible to change. It may feel like there's no way that we can change that groove of conditioning. But it is simply conditioned. It is just something that has been done many times, over and over and over again. One of the Buddha's ways of framing this kind of conditioning, there's a phrase that he used, whatever we frequently ponder, that becomes the inclination of our minds. And we know this to some extent, you know, if we, and he goes on, if we frequently ponder thoughts of ill will and anger will become the inclination of the mind. If we frequently ponder thoughts of desire and greed will become the inclination of the mind. This is just a natural way, in a way, it's just the natural process of our minds that do this. The way our brains work when we engage in something, it's like our brain is like this automatic system that basically reinforces what we've done a lot of. It's kind of a neutral process, you know. It's like, oh, I've done a lot of this, that must be important, so more neurons come in to shore that one up. You do more of it, more neurons come in to shore it up. So it's just a neutral kind of process. It's not a judgment on us. It is just the natural way that our human system kind of works. Whatever we ponder becomes the inclination of our mind. And so this teaching, you know, I'd say this is one of the key teachings on conditioning right here. We have our conditions from our past, what we have frequently pondered, what our families have frequently pondered, what our school friends frequently pondered. We tend to frequently ponder these things. And so it kind of sets up the conditions for us to have these habits and patterns. That becomes the inclination of the mind. And yet this process is ongoing. We are not like stuck with the conditioning of our past, because the processes in our mind continue to shift and change, continue to support what is frequently pondered. And so we can, the mind can start to shift in this very moment. It's like we have, what's happened in the past has happened in the past, and what's arising in this moment, including our reactivity, including whatever it is that we have, you know, responded to out of habit. That is, you know, that's just what's here as a result of the past conditioning. But in this present moment, right now, there is the possibility of pondering something differently, bringing a new condition into the mind, which can begin to shape the mind in a new direction. And one of the very key conditions that shapes the mind differently is this condition of being mindful. But being mindful in this way that we're curious about our experience as human experience, and curious about the conditions, and curious about what is this experience of suffering. How is it created? How is this experience of feeling distressed being created in this moment? We can start to see that there's stuff from our past that has led to that, and there's stuff that's happening right now that's also contributing to that. So all of these conditions, the conditions of the past leading to now, the conditions of how we are right now, the conditions of how we are right now, what we choose, what we choose to connect with in this moment, that is what begins to shape the future. So that's actually the phrase causes and condition. When I talked about that phrase, I talked about conditions first, but the phrase cause we can think of as being This moment's experience, this is at least the way I think of it, the cause of the suffering in this moment, the cause of our distress in this moment is something that's happening in this moment. There's all the stuff from history, but then there's our relationship to the stuff from history, the stuff happening outside, they're colliding, and there's this kind of experience right now in this moment of some kind of reactivity, aversion or greed, craving, happening right now. And that is the cause of our distress right now. You know, sometimes we think that, I'll give an example. When I was in the Peace Corps, I had kind of decided to participate in a theater group, and one evening I was on the stage and it was a performance, and I forgot my line. And so it was very embarrassing. So that was conditioned. You know, the forgetting of the line was conditioned, the situation that I was in, it was all conditioned. The embarrassment that arose was conditioned. But what was interesting was years later, I was on a meditation retreat, and this thought kept coming up about being on that stage and forgetting that line. And the embarrassment kept coming up. That's not surprising. I mean, it felt in some ways like the memory and the whole kind of situation had the embarrassment packed into it. But I got to see this enough because I was on a meditation retreat and for some reason this memory kept coming up. I got to see it enough that I began to understand that there was a difference between the memory and the feeling of the embarrassment that was happening in the moment. It wasn't the same embarrassment that had happened 10 years earlier. It was actually new embarrassment that was being created right now because the mind was reacting to that memory right now. Like the memory had come up and it was like, oh yeah, that was a terrible situation. Oh, it's like the mind put itself in that situation and got embarrassed all over again right now. It was a reaction right in this moment creating that suffering. And I began to understand through that the conditions in the past, you know, the thought itself, the memory, didn't hold that embarrassment. But the habits and patterns of reacting to that situation recreated that embarrassment. And so this is how conditions work. So there's the conditions from the past. And in this moment, right in this moment, there is again a response to those conditions. Conditions may be coming, you know, in the world. This was a condition that was just arising in my mind. But you know, but maybe it's like you're seeing something that reminds you of something from the past. This is another very frequent kind of scenario where we see something in the world that has resonances to something that happened in our past. And because of those resonances, we can react to this thing that's happening now, not in a kind of very clean and pure way. We're not responding to this situation that's happening in a very clean way. We are kind of, the history is bringing the conditioning from our history, and our reaction in this moment is often connected to that history. It may not have much to do with what's actually happening out there. It may have more to do with our internal kind of history, our internal conditioning in history. So this moment of experience, how we are right now, is a key So this we can look at this as the causal moment. How we are right in this moment is a key to whether we will be suffering in this moment and whether we will be perpetuating suffering in the future. And so the mindfulness begins to help us to see this and to help us to recognize that this is happening. So in the example of my memory, seeing it enough times, I began to see that the thought was just a thought, and that the embarrassment was kind of extra. And the embarrassment being felt as suffering, and also the mind began to realize, okay, so there's this thought that arose that I don't, you know, that there were conditions for the reason the thought arose. I don't exactly know why the thought arose. So there were conditions for that. But in this moment, the reaction of the embarrassment was something that the mind was doing to itself. And it was unpleasant. It was painful. And so that piece, when the mind began to see that, to see, okay, that, so with mindfulness, seeing this as a thought, seeing the embarrassment being created right now, the mind began to recognize, wow, this embarrassment is, the mind is doing this to itself. The suffering that's happening here, the mind is doing this. It's not kind of inherent in this memory. It's happening right now. And seeing that with mindfulness, as the mind sees this construction of suffering in the present moment, with mindfulness, it's like our mind. I mean, one of the other great things about the condition of being in a human body and a human mind is that essentially the conditions of this mind and body want to move in the direction of well-being. It's kind of a natural human direction. It's conditions of our mind and body want to move towards well-being. But because there's so many processes of body and mind at work in there, the mind can get very confused about what well-being actually is and how to get there. And so, for instance, you know, anger, acting on anger. When we act on anger kind of habitually, we think, some part of our system thinks, because we've gotten something kind of short-sightedly perhaps, we've gotten something that we wanted when we've gotten angry. You know, we've gotten rid of something that we didn't want, or we've gotten a certain situation the way we wanted with that anger as a condition. And so we've felt like, you know, the processes of our mind and body, again, the conditioning, anger conditions anger, frequently pondering anger conditions anger. We have had the belief, the mind buying into that, the belief that following through on that anger, acting on that anger, gets me what I want. It makes me feel better. And maybe it does actually make us feel better for a short moment. But we are feeling better in that moment following having felt miserable being angry, but actually not really noticing that miserableness because we were so focused on kind of the future. Now, this is a real way that our mind misses the suffering of the present moment. When we are experiencing anger or hatred or aversion or confusion, there is a kind of a distress internally. But we miss that because our minds are kind of leaping forward to the future for, well, when I get to that thing, when I get rid of that thing, when I get that thing, then I'll be happy. And so we are kind of willfully ignoring the suffering in the present moment of that anger, aversion, confusion, hatred, in favor of or in the hopes that we'll feel better in the future following acting on it. And so the way mindfulness works, mindfulness begins to, so this is the way the conditions of adding mindfulness, if we, the condition of mindfulness to notice anger, or notice any reactive experience, as we notice that with mindfulness, in the present moment, our system begins to understand, oh, this is not well-being in the present moment. This is not the way to well-being. And so the conditions of our organism that want to move in the direction of well-being, when we include the condition of mindfulness, it's like giving ourselves more information about what's actually happening in the present moment. What's actually happening is that the system is suffering through this reactivity. And we have not really seen that. When I first saw that, you know, it's kind of like, duh, anger hurts, but it's like, wow, I hadn't really felt it before. And when we feel that, when with mindfulness we feel that, our system basically goes, yeah, I think I'll let that go. Now that takes time. This is a slow conditioned process. It's, you know, it's like what we frequently ponder becomes the inclination of the mind. For years, for instance, I had been cultivating anger. One time of realizing, oh, anger hurts, it's not going to suddenly, like, you know, turn the ship. that it's like the movement of the mind in the direction of our habits and patterns is like a battleship going in one way. And one time of seeing it is not going to just change the course of the battleship instantly. So it's a process of change. But the more that we see, the more that we include the condition of mindfulness and see what is actually happening in the present moment, the more the mind begins to choose to let go of that direction that leads to suffering, and the more that it begins to choose the direction of peace and compassion and kindness. So that's quite a bit. I want to just see if there's any comments or thoughts or questions. I have more I could say, but I want to just take a moment to see if there's anything.
Even as you were talking about...
Is the mic on? It is, okay.
Good. Even as you were talking about being angry and observing, like, my mind, I noticed I was going through an exact thing that had upset me earlier today, and I said, like, I could see the parallels of, like, what you were saying, like, I was going through it, I'm just trying to, like, okay, it doesn't matter, but it just won't go, and you just sort of, like, how did you know what was going on?
You know, it's just, this is the human mind, you know? I think this is really one of the most amazing things is the Buddha's descriptions of the workings of the mind. When I talk about how anger works for me, it's the human experience. It's the human experience. So it resonates. We see it. If we're willing to look inside, we see it. It's like, oh yeah, that is how it works.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about generating that compassion and what those steps might be when you notice that habit, when you're mindful of whatever that inclination is, and how to work your way through it.
Yeah, that's great. A couple of things I think are kind of some of my go-to things right now, actually, are related to this understanding of conditioning. I'll talk about several things, but I'll start with this since conditioning is kind of the theme. So as we see something here, you know, so we see, oh wow, this is anger. You know, it's like, well, okay, how can I be with this? How can I hold this with some compassion? How can I be mindful of it? One of the ways that we can support this is to remind ourselves that it's not our fault that this is happening, that this is just the conditions. It's conditioning that's leading to this in this moment. What's arising right now is conditions. One of my teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, uses the phrase, this is nature, just with whatever is arising. That's arising right now, it's like a tree that's growing. You know, if you have the conditions for a particular tree, if you've got a seed in the ground and given it moisture and sun, this particular tree will grow. It's just nature that tree grows given those conditions. And likewise, in this moment, whatever's arising right now, it's growing, it's arising because the conditions have led there. It's not, so this is a little bit of how it connects to the teaching on not self. It's not, when we see this, for instance, when we see this is arising and we recognize, yeah, this is painful. This anger is painful. You know, if we had the capacity, we might say, oh yeah, I don't need to do that. How often does that work, actually? You know, and why doesn't it work? Because it's conditioned. So that for me was a great reminder. It's like, okay, this, what's arising right now, this is nature. This is causes and conditions bearing fruit. And then to remember that it's arising, this is what's growing right now, but, you know, that the mindfulness, I think, remembering that the mindfulness, and we can feel this too, I think, we feel the difference between being caught by a reaction and knowing that a reaction is happening. At first, it might not feel like a very big shift, but initially, it might just feel like, oh yeah, wow, that's happening. Wow, this really hurts. But over time, we may start to see a little bit of a shift of, oh, it's just that's happening. Oh, it's just frustration that's happening. I don't need to believe it, or I don't need to follow through on that. I can just know that that's happening. And that's seeing some of the mindfulness, the shift of the condition of mindfulness. We can start to see the benefit of the mindfulness in that we're not caught by that reactivity anymore. So we can see the benefit, that also helps us to cultivate that capacity for compassion and holding it with mindfulness. So the kind of the reflection, this is nature, this is what's arising right now. Of course, sometimes I'll say of course this is happening. You know, use the of course recognition. That's been such a helpful one for me, to create conditions where the mindfulness can relax a little bit with it, and not feel like, I mean, sometimes I think when something arises, a challenge arises and we are mindful of it, we think the mindfulness should like make it go away immediately. But again, this is a much slower process. The conditions, the momentum of our habits and patterns, the momentum of that conditioning is often pretty strong. And sometimes all that the mindfulness can do is watch it, you know, kind of tumbling on, and feel the suffering of that tumbling on. And that actually is when we can start to appreciate the value of that. As I said, that's actually the mind getting its education. It's learning, oh yeah, that reactivity, that doesn't feel so good. So it's learning that this process that's going on in the mind is contributing to not feeling good in the present moment. And that's part of the learning that's part of the the transformation. There are times when we see something with mindfulness that it does shift things quite a bit. You know, it feels much more easeful. And sometimes we can even choose to, oh yeah, I can let that go. But much of the time, we more have to cultivate the compassion for the kind of the power of the momentum of that conditioning, and explore the holding of it. And I think some of the understanding that that is valuable, you know, understanding that it's helpful to see the unfolding pattern, to watch it unfold, is actually helpful with mindfulness. It's helpful to watch it unfold. It's a different thing than just being caught by that pattern. It's the difference between, like if we're in a car on the freeway and we're going 60 miles an hour down the freeway, you know, the gears are engaged, you know, the foot's on the gas pedal and we're keeping the momentum of that direction going. That's what's happening when we're engaged with a pattern. We've got our foot on the gas pedal and we are buying into it. It's like, yeah, that reactivity, I got to follow through on that because that's how I'm going to be, get where I want to go. The being mindful of the pattern is kind of like putting the car into neutral. We disengage the gears. We're going 60 miles an hour down the freeway. We see that we're going 60 miles an hour down the freeway and we put the car into neutral. The car doesn't come to a stop. It continues to go, but we're not adding gas anymore so that the car will come to a stop. And very much it's a similar kind of thing, that being mindful of a pattern like puts our mind into neutral around the pattern. It's not reinforcing that pattern anymore to be mindful of it. It's creating the conditions that will allow it to ultimately unwind and to come to a stop. So some of what I find helpful in terms of setting the conditions for that compassion are these understandings, is recognizing that, yes, this mind has been conditioned in this way. Not, you know, that's just, that this is the tree that's growing right now. This is what's coming up right now. And the mindfulness will support an unwinding of that painful pattern. So that has been very helpful to me. Then there's a lot of other things that I would say that's one of the most helpful things in terms of creating the conditions to be able to hold something. To hold something that's challenging is the understanding that it's valuable to do that. And we can sometimes borrow experiences from the past. If you have seen any time in the past that being mindful has been helpful, we can remember that. And it's like, yeah, I know that that's been useful. So let me try to do this. But there are times, I would say there are times when the momentum of the conditioning is stronger than our capacity to be mindful. And so I've seen definitely, especially in the first couple years of my practice with anger, that I would see the anger and I would try to be mindful of it. And moments later, I was just bought right into the anger again. And it was just, you know, I had my foot on the gas pedal of that anger. So over some time, I began to see that there were certain conditions in which it was not so helpful to try to be mindful of that. So this is another skill that we learn with the mindfulness, is when can we be with something, have that compassion, have that sense of holding and care, and letting a pattern play out, learning something about it, because we learn something about what's going on. Like just the other day, for instance, I was I have some health challenges at the moment and some pain that's coming up. And I was driving a long distance. I was driving home from a meeting at Spirit Rock, and I was experiencing the pain. And there was a lot of clamping down, a lot of resistance, a lot of aversion around that. And I was just observing, and it's like, okay, yep, there it is. There's that clamping down. There's that pain. Okay, breathe, hold it, notice it. And as I was just exploring that, you know, being with that experience of the aversion, I saw a thought in the mind that was something like, I just have to hold on until I get home, then I can let go. Then I can relax. Once I get home, I'll be able to relax. And it's like, wow, that's an interesting belief. Why not relax now? And for moments at a time, it was possible to relax. And it was interesting because there was the physical experience of the pain that's because of the physical, the thing that I'm dealing with. And then there was the resistance, the aversion was like this, like squeezing that added to the pain, you know, made it more uncomfortable. And it like felt like a whole, like, you know, squeezing down, tightening down. And when the mind could let go of the resistance and the squeezing, then there was just the physical pain, and there was much more ease around the whole experience. And then it would come back because there was it was so strongly conditioned. You know, it's like the mind at the around the physical around physical stuff. I think the mind at a very deep level, you know, kind of closes down and contracts. But I could just watch it, and I could see that this was kind of this, you know, trying to hold on until some time later, and the mind could let go, and then it would come back. So there was a learning. There was a learning that some part of the discomfort that I was experiencing was not physical; it was mental. And there was an understanding of the beliefs that were going on that were contributing to that mental pain. So the mindfulness can give us a lot of information. We learn a lot from watching these things. And that learning is what helps the mind to transform and to let go and to shift. But there are times when we can't do that, when it's not able, like the mindfulness isn't strong enough to meet something, and it'll just get pulled back into it. And in those situations, we need to have the compassion for ourselves to recognize this is not the time to try to be mindful of that, to turn the attention to something else, to give the mind a break from that. And early in my practice with that, when I saw the mind kind of get pulled into the anger, what I began to practice was what I call the not now practice. It's like, oh yeah, I see you. You know, you want some attention, but right now is not a good time to pay attention to this. So the most compassionate thing I can do right now is to just like put my attention on my feet and take a walk right now. And just redirect, not pay attention to that thought, not pay attention to that whole complex of, because the anger and the thoughts around the anger were so tightly connected that as soon as I felt the anger, it would like get hooked to the thoughts, this is the conditioning around thoughts and emotions often is, you know, thoughts will lead to the emotion and the emotion will lead to the thought, and that's the foot on the gas pedal. And so that was what was happening. And when I could just kind of take my attention out of the whole thing, it's like that let the pattern go into neutral itself too. And just put my attention somewhere else and let that part, but it's not about repressing that. It's not about like pushing it down and saying you can't be there. And I actually, you know, would talk to that part of my mind and I'd say, you can take a walk with me, but I'm going to put my attention over here. You know, so that it was a very gentle redirection. There wasn't aversion to the pattern. It was just, yeah, I see you, and like, wow, you're strong. So I'm going to just redirect my attention right now. So sometimes that is necessary. So, and it's time to stop. So, Thank you for your attention.